Thank you for tuning in to Victory Outreach Antioch. On behalf of Pastor Adam and Sister Gina, we pray that you will be challenged and inspired by our podcast messages.
You know, from the day that we were born, God was already with us. You know, some of us should be dead right now. Some of us were in prison. Some of us were locked up. Some of us were doing things that we shouldn't have been doing. Amen. Cheating on our taxes. Hello, it's tax time, right? Now we have the conviction of God in our life. We don't have to do that anymore. God is such a blessing. We don't have to rob, cheat, steal, right? We don't have to fake like we're sick anymore when we call in sick. Or do we still do that? We don't do that no more, right? We tell the truth now, right? And that's what prayer does. Prayer brings families together, marriages together, loved ones, children that were lost and bound, and he brings them into the fold. That's the power of prayer. And then there's another thing that we have. It's called our beautiful Bible that we have. That wonderful word, that word of encouraging, the word of that helps us with our everyday life, our everyday walk. Basic instructions before leaving earth. It's an acronym for Bible. You know, and it's teaching us how to get to heaven, basically. How to transform our lives and to become new in the things of God. Well, I'm going to talk about a third thing. See, we have prayer and we have the Bible. But today we're going to talk about fasting. Ooh, the thing we don't want to do, a lot of us. We're going to talk about fasting to stay focused on track. Matthew 6, verse 17 through 18, it says, "But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your feet, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you." Well, you're probably saying, what does fasting mean? Fasting is something that you do when you separate yourself. I looked it up here in the dictionary, fasting. And fasting has a lot of different definitions in the dictionary. Talks about refraining from food. Talks about, you know, when you go see the doctors, you have to fast so they can check your body, check your vital signs, right? And you eat sporadically things, certain kinds of foods that you're not supposed to be eating. Now, this is the dictionary telling you this. But in the things of God, we fast to get closer with God. See, fasting in the Bible was not a rule, but it's a spiritual discipline in your life to get closer with God. It's denying your fleshly desires in your life to say, you know what, Lord, I want to get a hold of you. A beautiful example of fasting that our very own Lord Jesus Christ fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And a lot of people say, well, he was fasting because he was getting ready to start his ministry. You hear a lot of comments saying he was fasting because he knew that he had to go to the cross. But I like this commentary. The commentator said that he fasted 40 days and 40 nights to prepare himself to set us free. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. I'm going to read you the story, if that's okay. Just real quick. The temptation of Jesus. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And then the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become like loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." Now I want to stop right there. It doesn't say anything about him being thirsty, right? Didn't say anything. He said he was hungry because he tempted him with bread. He tempted him. And it's funny how the Spirit leads you. You hear where I'm going with this? The Spirit will lead you when you're fasting. When you're getting a hold of God, when you fast and you separate, you deny yourselves of food, basically. A lot of people have different types of fast. You have what is called the Daniel fast, and all you eat is nothing but vegetables the whole entire time you're fasting. You refrain yourself from meat. Then you have the spiritual fast, which is nothing but liquid, right? Some people say the spiritual fast is just plain water and no substances, no sodas, no coffee. No, you know, different people have different times. And then you also have the fasting where people fast from different things like television, Facebook. Hello. They refrain themselves from gossip. So they want to stay focused on God. And that's fine. That's things you can do. You refrain yourself from listening to certain people as far as like profanity or things. You don't want to be in that type of environment, especially when you're at work. You hear all these things happening and they're taking place and you just want to separate yourself during your break time, during your lunch hour, just to get a hold of God, right? That's a way of fasting. And right here in the scripture it says, but in every word that comes from the mouth of God, then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on his hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, again it is written, you shall not put your Lord God to the test. Again the devil took him to the very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of his world, or world. Some translations say his world, the world, basically the surrounding earth, their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil lifted him up, and behold, the angels came and were ministering to him. Fasting is a key to break strongholds in your life. And God's got your back when you're fasting. He's right there with you. Acts chapter 13, verse 2 through 4 says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, this is talking about Peter, and the Holy Spirit said, set apart me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid hands on them and set them off. Fasting is also a way to prepare for something great to happen. We want something great to happen. We're focusing on 250, right? We want to focus on that. Fasting is a spiritual discipline that helps center our attention on the Lord. It discovers his will that he may according to do for his people. People fast in different ways. Some abstain from food while others refrain from various activities. The period of time can vary as well. But the focus for us to gather ourselves together to seek God and to know his will. When we begin to deny ourselves, several things begin to happen. First, the Holy Spirit will enable us to set aside earthly matters. Earthly matters won't mean much because we're focusing on God. Relationships, work, and the pleasure will take lesser place in our mind, and we concentrate more on him and his purpose in our life. Second, our attention will shift from ourselves and it'll focus more on the Lord. Then when we think clearer, we become clearer, we have the ability to understand God's plan. It will sharpen us because we won't be distracted by other things that are around us. For instance, right now, you're here on a Wednesday. You worked all day and you're here on service. So right now, you're battling your flesh right now. You could be whipping it right now as I'm speaking. You could be holding your head, I'm tired. I don't feel like being here. You know what? God has something for you. That's why you're here. You came out here to say, you know what? I want to get a touch from God. I need strengthening because I got to go to work Thursday and Friday, and I need strength in my life. That's why it's called the house of prayer. And then also you might have a need in your life for your family and friends. Take it up a notch, and I dare you and I challenge you to fast. You have that loved one that you've been praying for, fast. And it's funny, when you're fasting, all the temptations of the world come against you, right? Especially when you're at work, someone decides to buy you a cheeseburger on the day you're fasting. I had that happen to me. I was like, Lord, that is, Mike, I will buy you a meal and I'll hook you up. I go, why can't you do it yesterday? Why you got to do it today? You know, you pick today about all days to want to, and that's how the devil is. Or all of a sudden you start to get grouchy. You start to get irritable because you're hungry. And when you feel that need to get grouchy, that's when you start praying and seeking God. Lord, you got to be with me. Fasting is not intended. There's three things that fasting is not intended for. It's not a tool to manipulate God to change his mind. Fasting is not a tool to manipulate God to change his mind. If he's going to have you go through that trial, oh, I'm going to fast to get the trial away. No, you know what the trial does? The trial just makes you stronger. Because once you go over that trial, once you go over that hump in your life, hello, you become a stronger person. This is hump day, right? It's Wednesday. So once you get over that day, right, a new victory comes in your life. But it's not a tool to manipulate God. It's not a commandment that is more acceptable to God's eyes. It's not a public exhibition. Fasting is not a public exhibition. It's not like, oh God, I'm fasting today. Brother, pray for me. Pray for me today. I'm so hungry. You only fasted for what, 3 hours? I've known people that fasted 3 days, 4 days, 10 days, and you're fasting. Oh God, it's so hard. I'm looking at the television and Denny's is on, right? You know, you refrain yourself from those things. You refrain it. Turn off the television. Think about God. Think about his glory. Because God is going to do something new in your life. It's not a weight loss gimmick. I look at Facebook and I'm like, Lord, they're putting it, I'm fasting. I'm hitting the gym. I'm fasting, right? I was like, it's not a weight loss gimmick. This is not something for you to lose weight. It's something for you to get a hold of God. It's a discipline in your life. It's not a rule that you have to fast. But if you want some glory, if you want some strengthening, if you want something to take place in your life, fasting is the best way to go. You feel like your prayers are not reaching the heavens. Take one day to fast and then pray some more and watch God do something tremendous in your life.
Amen.
Bad things happen to good people. You know why? Because it just makes them stronger. It just makes them stronger. Every challenge in your life is an overcoming challenge. Your marriage is going through it right now. It's an overcoming challenge. You don't see it. You don't need Valentine's Day to prove your love. That's a once a day a year thing. My wife says it's overrated. But it's a day to come together. Valentine's Day, you know what we use that day? And yes, I heard Mondo and Arlene dropped it. I know they gave a great word. And that's a beautiful way to spend Valentine's Day. Not at a restaurant. You can go to a restaurant any other time of the day. But to express the love of God. The true love. The true meaning of love. Valentine's Day should be every day in your life. You know, and it was funny because me and my wife were talking about it. We're like, you know, should we go out? No, let's stay home. We just want to be with the kids, and we want to just talk about God. No television. Even though it was on, we turned it off. And we took that moment of time just to come together, and we talked about how much God loves us. Because if you don't express the love in your family, then the devil's going to come and try to express his love. Fasting is a powerful thing. The Lord's probably going to do something spiritual in your life. It's a house cleaning in our life. That's what fasting does. It cleans the house. It cleans all the filth in our life. It's a spiritual thing that will convict the sinful attitudes of our behavior. Upon confession of our sins, he will forgive us, he will cleanse us. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, and he cleanses us from unrighteousness. You know, Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1 through 11, I'm not going to go through it, but Nehemiah knew it was time to fast and pray. He desperately wanted to help rebuild the walls of Jerusalem so that the people of God will have protection against the enemies. Are you desperate to build this church? Do you see the need that is taking place? Some of you have given pledges. You don't think that the enemy is going to try to hit you because you stepped out to give a pledge to help remodify and build the church? One person said, why do we need to put lights up? Why do we need to beautify our church? Well, it's not about the beautification. See, this is a place where lives are being changed. This is a place where people come in and they had no hope and God gives them hope. This is a place where marriages were broken and all of a sudden God uses our pastor and the people and the leaders of God to help be there for married couples and he brings them together and God does something miracle. These are where praying moms come and pray for their sons and their sons give their life to Jesus Christ. That's why we beautify the building. This is our house. This is our place of worship. Not to say our church looks like the bomb or it's beautiful. No, we want to welcome you because this is our home. This is our place of worship. Also, what we do, not beautifying it, it's not about us beautifying the temple of God, but what we do is we come together as a unit to stopping the enemy from coming into our house. We protect our loved ones. You know, if you never had a family, If you were in the world and you didn't have a great family atmosphere, or you didn't have the Leave It to Beaver and all that kind of atmosphere, I'll tell you the best place to get it is in church. Amen. You want a Nino, you want an auntie, you want an uncle, you want cousins, you want all that stuff that you never had? Come to Victory Outreach Antioch. Amen. That's right. When unexpected news greets us, bad news, good news, any kind of news, we may find that our emotions are in turmoil. Then we wisely sought out the Lord through fasting and praying. Powerful practices also can help us hear clearly from our Heavenly Father, who knows the best way through our vital situation. You know, when we're going through those tough times, that is a perfect time to fast. When you're going through turmoil situations, it's the best time to come together with God and say, Lord, I just want to take this day to separate. Hudson Taylor said, in fasting, we learn what poor, weak creatures we are. We depend on a meal for meat of little strength, and we lean upon that meal instead of leaning on God. Fasting helps us express, deepen, and confirm our relationship that we know already that God has sacrificed everything for our lives, even ourselves, to know that we can sacrifice our desires to attain what we seek. And what do we seek is the kingdom of God. Andrew Murray quoted that. Now, why do I say all this as Joe comes up and, you know, as you're praying, think about that. Think about lives. What do you crave? Do you crave money? Do you crave of doing what you want to do? Right? No one tells me what to do. If I feel like coming to church, I'm going to come to church. If I'm tired, I'm going to stay home. I'm going to do this and I'm going to... That's fine. You have a decision to make in your life. But when God's got your back, you know you got to be where you got to be. And I got to be in the presence of God. That's why you're here right now. And what we're going to do right now is we're going to set an atmosphere of prayer.
Hi, thank you for tuning in to Victory Outreach Antioch. On behalf of Pastor Adam and Sister Gina, we pray that you will be challenged and inspired by